Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Happy New Year, or Happy New Queer, as we say in my house. Welcome to a very special episode of Why Are People Into That? That is actually not really an episode of Why Are People Into That? It's more like a crossover episode with Susie Q of The Whorecast and Sam Solo of the On Your Face podcast. Yes, I was in California visiting biological and logical family over the holidays. And on New Year's Day, I spent some really fun time at the Whore Castle in Oakland. To get pumped about 2016, Susie, Sam, and I sat down to do a year in sex review of 2015. Right now, you're listening to part one, in which we talk Jessica Jones, The Force Awakens, and the consent scandals that defined the year. This is just the beginning of me messing around with the format of Why Are People Into That in an effort to bring you more of the raunchy intellectual content you love. Expect more episodes in smaller, digestible bites this year, as well as remixes of old episodes and hopefully some new segments as well. The show is now a part of the Whorecast Network, along with the On Your Face show and a brand new Spotlight series. So expect to get a lot more sex work and pop culture in your feed in the coming months. Thank you to everyone who has already pledged to my Patreon. You'll be getting your free copies of my books, Love Not Given Lightly, and my new sexting guide in the mail as soon as I get my post-holiday shit together. If you would like to become a patron, just head on over to patreon.com/TinaHorn to get in on all the exclusive behind-the-scenes fan club fun. You can pledge as little as a dollar a month and make a huge difference in independent sex media. Next week, we'll return to our regularly scheduled programming with a brand new episode of Why Are People Into That? But first, the 2015 year in sex, according to me, Miss Susie Q, and Mr. Sam Solo.
I felt like we were backstage waiting to go on just now. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Whorecast.
Oh, oh.
Yeah. I'm your host, Susie Q, but I'm not your only host today. It's a triple nipple. It's a three-way. It's a threesome podcast. It's here to stay. Well, at least for today. But there's a lot, so much time, so little to do. I mean, wait, strike that. Reverse it. You know what I mean. Hi, we're back. We took a huge, long hiatus, but we're finally back, better than ever. I have two of my favorite people in the podcasting planet and in the podcast, in the planet in general. I've got Sam Solo here. You may remember him. Sam.
This guy right here.
Come on.
I was Googling some facts about some things for the podcast.
Anyway, mastermind behind girlbullies.com, and you may remember him from our other podcast, Winter is Coming on Your Face, which has been awakened along with the Force. Check that out.
Check out our Star Wars reaction episode.
It's pretty good. And someone that you may know, But if you've only listened to this podcast and been doing nothing else with your life, then you've only heard her once. But she has an incredible podcast called Why Are People Into That that you should go subscribe to right now and obsessively listen to. Tina Horn, everyone. Tina Horn.
What's up, party people?
Ugh, Tina Horn. Tina Horn is a huge deal. Is a huge deal. No, seriously. You should check out her book, Love Not Given Lightly, and you have a new book coming out, right?
It came out today.
What? It's today?
It's January 1st, 2016, mm-hmm. and my book, Sexting, it has such a long subtitle. I need to get this down. It's it's The Grown-Up's Guide to Getting Dirty Digitally, I think. The Grown-Up's Guide of Sex Tips. Anyway, I didn't write the subtitle. The publisher did, but it's called Sexting. And it's a sexting ethics and etiquette book.
Has anyone written a book like that before? I mean, are you writing the book on this?
I think so. A lot of people have written on the subject, but I don't think anyone has written a book quite like mine.
I'm excited. I got to look at some of the galleys of it. And it's very, very cool.
Thank you.
You should definitely check it out. It's, you know, there's a lot. It's very funny. You know, we all kind of make fun of, I think, our parents when they interact on social media. You know, it's like,
I certainly do.
I definitely. I mean, especially the holiday season is a great time to do that. I'm like, Mom, you don't know how to use Facebook. Oh, my God. Like, you don't know what a meme is, you know. but at the end of the day, like, we're all kind of figuring this out as we go. Like, we're not, you know. And then I look at how my cousin, who's, you know, 20, interacts with social media and, like, interacting with people. And I'm just like, oh, I'm the dinosaur. Shit. I thought I was cool. I had a podcast and everything. So anyway, you need the book. That's what I'm saying. We all do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm such a big fan of the Whorecast. Honestly, for me, hearing that theme song made me feel like I was at the gym and it was in my headphones. Because that's where I like to listen to the Whorecast. But I haven't listened to the Whorecast at the gym. I'm like so out of shape because there's nothing else to listen to that gets me going.
Good. Well, we're back. We're back.
A lot of sad joggers and sad commuters out there.
Oh, God. I know. I feel that. You know, we originally, I think the last podcast we put out was in like June or something insane like that. And we took the summer off thinking that we would come back in the fall, and then some other things happened and the fall got eaten by a giant monster with big, lots of eyes and scales and fins. And here we are in the new year.
It's like Adele said about her new album, you know, the hiatus was just life got in the way. Life happened. So we're like Adele in a lot of ways.
Most of the ways.
People are jogging to Adele.
Oh, man. I'm like Adele in more ways than I would really like to talk about at this juncture. But we are here.
Next time.
But we are relaunching the podcast. It's for real. We're diving back in. And we're doing something different, of course, because it's New Year. Change is the only inevitable part of life. And so we've decided to change some things. And one of the changes we are making is that we're bringing Tina Horn on as part of the Whorecast Network. We're getting the privilege of getting to host her podcast, Why Are People Into That, as part of our Whorecast family, as part of our Whorecast network. And that's huge. That's huge. I've kind of like, I always knew it would happen.
Yeah, you know me too.
I mean? I always kind of, you know.
Some mergers are inevitable.
But thanks for having me.
Oh my God, such a privilege.
And also thank you for taking care of yourself and taking the hiatus that you needed.
Thanks, dude.
I think that your fans are the kinds of fans who appreciate that.
You know, in so many ways, I really want to take a second before we like launch in to talk about what's new to thank our fans and our listeners for, you know, still interacting with us on Twitter and not, you know, unsubscribing from the Patreon, you know, and staying with us because, you know, movements are hard. And I do believe that the Whorecast, it does have a very clear mission. And I think in this past year, that mission has been made all the clearer. And we're going to talk a lot about that in this episode. This is the year in sex.
We are recording this on Jan 1.
But I think that's great because everybody's been so saturated and inundated at like the checkout line and like on all of their podcasts with like on like December 1st, mm-hmm. like the year. But we actually are probably the first people who can really conclusively say. I mean, do you remember in I guess it was 2014 when everybody put out their best albums of the year at the beginning of December, and then Beyonce dropped her surprise album, which is the, you know, like one of the greatest gifts that any artist has made to mankind. And it's not on any of those lists,
exactly.
You know, but she knew.
Are irrelevant now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly. So our, which is another way of saying our list is
the list.
It's the Beyonce of lists.
It's full hindsight.
Full hindsight. So we have Tina coming on as part of the network. So when you look into your Whorecast feed, so 1 week you may have the Whorecast, the Year in Sex, as you will have this week. And next week you're actually going to have Tina's podcast in your ears at the gym or on your commute or wherever you may podcast listen. And that's the way it's going to be. And then the following week is going to be Mr. Sam Solo.
Winter is coming again. On your face more.
Are we trying to go with on your face pod? You know, but people know. Yeah. Winter is coming on your face. Will be in your podcast feed. That you know, winter is coming on your face was already a part of the Whorecast family. It's sort of the Athena of the it was born out of the Whorecast's forehead and or something, right? I'm mixing up my mythologies here.
But we definitely know what you mean.
We definitely know. So that that's coming back. And then the fourth week of every month, something really exciting is happening. We are expanding our Whorecast family. We are looking to our listeners and our fans and our greater sex worker community out in the world. And we are doing something called the Whorecast Spotlight. So that's going to be...
Spotlight.
Broadway. We're going to have sex workers from all over sending their content in. We're kind of staying more in line with the original mission of the Whorecast of stories, art, and voices of American sex workers. Showcasing what people have got going on, what people are talking about in other parts of the world in terms of sex work, and really focusing in on those voices. So that's fucking exciting.
And if anybody listening wants to produce a spotlight, just get in touch with us by emailing thewhorecast@gmail.com.
That's it. That's where we are. And we want your stories. We want you to be part of this. It's cool. It's going to be a very sweet 2016.
Radio is fun.
Radio is really fun. I missed it. It's nice to have these headphones back on, this mic in my face, and these cool guys sitting next to me. I also want to take a quick second and shout out to our original Whorecast producer is also here for this first episode, Donnie Service, who you may remember. Do you want to say?
Hello, everyone.
Oh, look at that. Such a good voice.
The man behind the mask.
The man behind the mask. He is the wizard. He's the wizard that makes it happen. And we are very privileged and blessed to have him here to launch this second chapter of the Whorecast. So... that's the news at 11. But today we have this little trio. We have sat down and a lot of stuff happened in 2015. It was not a casual year at all, especially in terms of the sex world or, you know, things relating to stuff we care about, right? So we decided to do our list, our year in sex. And that's what we're here to do today. So thanks, you guys.
Should we start with sexiest pop culture moments?
Start on a positive note?
Yeah, let's start on a positive note.
That's a great idea.
And then get a little heavier later on.
Bright. Yeah.
The outline doesn't start off so cheery, so just brace yourselves. We're going to give you the good dessert first, right?
Life is short. Well, listen, I didn't get to sit with you guys to do the recap of The Force Awakens. So before I go any further, I do want to say spoilers will follow.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen The Force Awakens, you might want to skip ahead 5 minutes or wait until after you've seen it. Or if you don't give a shit... then just listen and then see the movie eventually. Cause it's amazing. I couldn't even listen to your podcast until I had seen it. So, I was extra happy to have seen it so I could listen to the podcast. But anyway, so I just wanted to add one thing to your amazing recap. which is that there is a moment in The Force Awakens where Rey, the female protagonist, is in this strange space bondage machine, torture machine, and Kylo Ren, also one of my great moments of 2015 is the Twitter handle emo Kylo Ren with the a three as an E is I think the comedy masterpiece of 2015 and it's and it goes on. But anyway, so Kylo Ren, who's very emo, is doing that thing where he's putting out his hand and trying to use the force, the dark side force, on her to like bend her to get information, some kind of information out of her. I don't even remember
just
what.
A sort of general compulsion, like I'm getting in there.
Exactly. And there's this very long moment where they're basically just furrowing their brows at each other. And then I need to see it again. I don't even remember what she says, but then she kind of like breaks it and says something defiant, and he's like, try evil powers again, and keeps trying, and then it doesn't work. I realized in that moment, I think I might have a fetish for women resisting mind control. I've seen it a million times, and I've done it for work for so long. But there was something about how perfect it was in that movie that all of these things, including going back to A Wrinkle in Time by Madeleine L'Engle, which is like a very influential book in my life, which features women resisting fascist mind control. Mm-hmm. And I would like to explore that in 2016. That's like one of my resolutions.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. First of all, I am very familiar with that scene. It's, you know, like there's certain scenes out of movies that like really speak to you. I remember when I was, I wanted to write about like fetishes in general at some point in this past year. And I wanted to write about where I think I got my stocking fetish, which is from The Rocketeer and Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, yes.
She puts on these seam stockings like in the 1940s. I was like, oh yeah. And so I went back I went back on YouTube and I
Which is a time machine.
And I like paused it. I was like, okay, here's the scene that I'm talking about. It's 8 seconds long.
Uh-huh.
But it's 99% of what I remember of the film, The Rocketeer.
It's otherwise pretty forgettable, yeah.
And I feel like this scene, the mind control scene, it also involves leather gloves rubbed all over her.
That
face.
Is true, yes. That might have, yes, had something to do with it.
It was also a moment. And Sam, we saw it together. Do you remember me like clutching your hand?
You were affected by that scene in the moment. You it wasn't like upon reflection you were like, that's kind of nice. You were like, "Oh."
I needed it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I thought of you guys too. I was like, I can't wait to talk to them about this. No,
Star Wars is so sex neutral. That is definitely like that is like one of the sexiest things.
Star Wars is not sex neutral. I disagree.
I feel like it largely is like not a very sexy.
But
movie.
It does
no,
kind of
Hollywood,
have like a PG
compared to Hollywood, yeah.
like view of sexuality where like boys are like bully girls and girls talk back, but then like it.
Yeah, no, like, you know, Carrie Fisher, as, like, hot as she is in Slave Leia costume, is, like, also, like, Disney appropriate in, like, many ways, you know? Like, even though it's not, but it kind of is. No, I hear that. No, but that, I immediately, as soon as I discovered emo Kylo Ren via you, I tweeted at Divine Bitches and Matress Madeline was like, can we please do a Star Wars Divine Bitches so I can get my hands on this little whiner, like, immediately.
Oh, yeah, with his lightsaber temper tantrums.
Ooh.
So we could talk about that all day, but let me segue while we're talking about women resisting mind control.
I was just going to be like... Guys. So there's a TV show that is like sweeping the nation on Netflix right now that is all about the like a badass lady resisting mind control.
That's right.
And I actually think that like the sexiest thing from that show isn't the mind control stuff, which there's lots
Jessica
of...
Jessica Jones, is
Jessica
that what we're
Jones.
About?
Jessica Jones. I was building up to it.
Oh, sorry.
But Jessica
Way
Jones.
To bury the lead, Sam.
Sorry.
But I think the sex scene with that show is not the mind control, but it's when the two characters realize that they both are superhuman and they're like, wait, we can have sex without holding back. And it just like goes on for two straight days or something. And that to me was like one of the sexiest things that I took away from that movie. Mm. But there's so much kinky mind control sex stuff in that movie. Or that TV show.
Well, it's a movie. We're in the age of the TV show as basically like miniseries. Anyway, so no, go ahead.
Jessica Jones is killer.
Jessica Jones is great. Susie Q, stop whatever you're doing and watch the show, which you will love. Yes, the sex on it is really amazing. The superhero sex is really amazing. And then there's like other characters. There's just a lot of female subjectivity, and there's another character who, is having casual sex and just getting eaten out, and it's like, yes, of course, but I can't believe we even have to talk about it as notable, but it is really notable and it's really hot. And there's also a great moment where like the two women, like right after the casual sex, like that female character and the like other female protagonist are, I'm trying not to do too many spoilers on Jessica Jones, but they're like talking about like, you know, the plot and trying to plan, and the guy who is going down on her like keeps trying to mansplain in a way that's not like overly horrible, but he just like, he doesn't know how to interact other than mansplaining, and he's not necessarily a bad guy in that moment. But they keep being like, yeah, we totally have this. And he's like, oh yes, but I have this one expertise in this thing. And they're like, listen. And then, she says, what does she say? Do you know it?
She says, last night was fun, but if you don't be quiet, I'm going to ask you to leave.
Yes! No, doesn't she say, she says, last night was fun, but that doesn't mean I asked for your opinion?
Ooh, oh, I thought she told, better. She asked him like, if he doesn't be quiet, but that's what she says. Last night was fun, but like, that's not.
But shh. Oh, yeah. That's like all I want to say.
It was a priceless girl bully moment. It definitely was,
yes,
a priceless
was.
Girl bully moment.
It definitely
moment.
Was. And yeah, and there is a lot of women resisting mind control, and maybe the most profound allegory of.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Of consent and how complicated it can be, and how complicated it is for us to talk about and think about, which we are going to talk and think about a little later on in the show. But yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of like we have some other great pop culture moments, especially to talk about, but it's such a great transition because the enemy of that movie is basically non-consent. Mm-hmm. Like that is the bad guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow.
Should we? Just, yeah,
I mean, let's do it.
Let's move on to the great villain of
2015.
Civilization.
I mean, yeah. Not just 2015. Sadly, basically all of human time. Yeah.
So, anyway. Where the hell are we going to start with this?
Well, the premise, I came up with a gimmick premise for a podcast because I love gimmick premises. And that is undershamed or properly shamed the consent violators of 2015.
So is it like a game?
Yeah.
It's like we have to
hot
kind
or
of
not.
Decide. Yeah, hot or
okay.
not.
Okay.
Hot or not.
Okay, great.
So should we start with the big fish or should we build up to him?
Let's build up to the big
okay,
fish.
Okay, great. Yeah. So let's start. Who's Kevin Johnson?
Okay, so Kevin Johnson was a basketball player in the 90s who was semi-successful and semi-famous. He had a accusation of sexual misconduct with a minor that he managed to hush up and like make happen, like, or you know, make go away.
Uh-huh.
That was a thing in the 90s.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the, if you follow the story, like one of the things that you see is how much easier it was to make something like this go away in the 90s.
Right. Wow. How weird.
Well, he went on after his NBA career to become the mayor of Sacramento.
Our Sacramento?
Yes.
California's Sacramento?
Yes, he is still currently the mayor of Sacramento. And along
capital?
The way, and after he became mayor of Sacramento, he managed to finagle his way into apparently taking over the control of the black caucus of black mayors of America. And so he was really well set up, and he was about to have this documentary put out by ESPN, basically talking about how he saved Sacramento and how he was such an awesome dude.
Mm-hmm.
But right before it could come out, he had some fresh allegations of sexual misconduct with his staff. And so his documentary was canceled, and his political career is like somewhat in shambles, but he still has like tons of supporters. And I mean, you guys have never heard of him
no.
until tonight. So I'd say he's undershamed.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds yeah. like he's doing great.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, it's really too bad to hear that story, and everything that you just told me about that person besides the allegations make me feel very pro him mm-hmm. and excited for him to be a political icon. And I guess it just demonstrates that even when we want to like look up to people, that power makes people do horrible things.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's power and not that the people themselves aren't culpable, but that power facilitates people thinking that they can get away yeah. with being subhuman.
Because they can. Like this is not related to 2015, but I think that it shows a theme. The theme of 2015 and non-consent is like the dude you think is cool is actually a rapist. You know, like that, you know, because
that is one of the themes of 2015.
That yeah. is the theme of 2015. And, you know, I know that the three of us have a common favorite film that we talk about a lot about how men with privilege can get away with terrible things.
Oh, yes.
American Psycho yes. is a big film for all of us.
And the book as well.
Book as well.
Yeah. Even though Bret Easton Ellis is such a fucking sack of shit. But anyway, sometimes sacks of shit make great art. Have you guys heard
also
about that?
True.
Well,
also
you kind true. Of have to be kind of a sack of shit just to kind of be like, you know what? Everyone needs to hear my thoughts all the time.
Oh, wait, man. Wait, hey, guys, hey, what are we doing here?
So moving on, Josh Duggar is a rapist, and
we didn't like him to begin with, at least.
He was
already a dork.
No, that's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, I would say that he has been properly shamed.
Has he been properly shamed? Good. Okay. I feel like I keep seeing all the defense, people trying to defend mm-hmm. him, but I think that's people are more mocking the people who are trying to defend him. It's not like the defenders are really having the...
People who defend him, I think, get pressed because it's like, ah!
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know? I mean, the scary thing about the Duggar story to me is just, again, like how long people will be... how far people are prepared to go to cover things up while they cover up somebody doing things that are unethical, are immoral, are monstrous, while they sanctimoniously accuse
right
people of being monsters
yeah
for doing things that we can all agree are ethical, like just, you know,
like marrying their wife.
Yeah.
<That's right. laughs> You know, like
that's right.
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy of that. Yeah.
And that's why I think that he lands in the properly shamed category, because like we kind of already knew that the Duggar dude from the, like, aren't they like a fundamentalist Christian family with a reality TV show about
very
them?
Extreme.
Like, oh, that guy turned out to be a piece of shit. Weird.
Yeah, but people look up to them. That's the scary thing.
That is the scary
thing. People
part.
Look up to them, and they've been profiting. That family has been profiting off of their hate right. for so long, because it, like, and if people are like, oh, I watch it ironically, it's like you're giving
dollars.
People money.
Yeah. Word.
And then Jared from Subway. I mean, I guess, ooh. I don't know when the last time was that I bought a Subway sandwich, but.
Ugh. Those things taste like fucking garbage.
Do they taste so like true. Child pornography?
I mean, fucking garbage, so sure. I'm going to say definitely like under, because I think like.
Yeah.
I feel like just under.
It kind of came and it was like.
Came and went.
People were shocked, but it was more like a joke.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you hear about the
He's
rumor.
Less, his days of being culturally relevant are.
Right.
Subway had already moved on from the dude.
Is Subway going to survive this, though? Like, are people going to be able to look at $5 footlongs and not think terrible, terrible, like, triggering thoughts for the rest of their lives? Like, I won't. But I didn't like Subway to begin with. It tastes like fucking garbage.
No, Subway is the worst. It's actually worse than, like, your average fast food in a lot of ways.
It is. Yeah. I'll do, you know.
I would say that in America,
Taco Bell,
100 times. Taco Bell. I was thinking about. I'm like, McDonald's. Is that true though? Like, you know, but no, Taco Bell, 100 times.
Yeah,
but that's not the point. The point is
hardly the point. I think you can never say like in America. We don't let the child interferers off too lightly. I feel like he's been properly shamed.
No, never enough. Never enough.
Never enough.
No. Stocks.
So I think that we. Should we talk about...
Have we beat around the bush?
I think we should hit some of the lighter ones.
Oh, okay.
Or just like before we get to the last
Like ones. Mr. Gray?
I mean, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Mr. Gray was not shamed at all.
No, yeah, definitely under.
Actually, let's talk about it now.
Let's talk about 50 Shades. Let's do it. I'm ready. Wait. I recently watched the film for the first time. Okay. I have thoughts.
I haven't seen it.
Mm.
You've seen it. You went opening night.
Yeah.
That's... super cute.
It was for someone else to write a story about.
Okay. And you saw it on like streaming.
Yeah, recently.
On a plane or something.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I have read the first book.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. That's
I don't
great.
Know if
That's
you can
insight.
Even call it reading. Book. Yeah.
Call it reading or a book.
But I did obsessively watch the trailers. Mm.
That Beyonce song is great though.
That Beyonce, I mean, that slowed down Crazy in Love is.
So it goes, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys talk first because you actually saw the fucking thing. Okay.
So I was just thinking that we would hit this up in the little bit, the review thing. I just was going to say, is Mr. Gray been shamed or not?
Okay, right. We'll talk. Oh, okay, we can talk. Say. We can table 50 Shades.
That's all I would say.
Well, I don't want to devote too much time to it, so let's just like give it its second. For we all know the BDSM community threw a very vocal like temper tantrum about it, and I don't want to like necessarily continue that. Like, and I do, but like it's the dumbest fucking story, but it's not the thing that kind of struck me about it. It's not an uncommon story. I was just like the whole time just watching this film being like, don't listen to that dude. He's just a weird FetLife guy. It's fine. No, he doesn't know anything. Don't let him hit you. Oh God. Like, you know, like watching the mistakes that I made as a young submissive, you know, like a young kinkster entering the scene. Oh, you must know something. But you know, it's not an uncommon story. And I do think that a lot of the things that, you know, get portrayed of just like, okay, I'm not gonna like play with you until we have a really serious discussion about your limits and boundaries. Like, cool. That's more than we usually get. Fine. Cool. Great.
It's very generous of you.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say most of his rapey stuff isn't from kink. It's from wealth. Like he uses his money to violate her consent. It doesn't, it's not necessarily the kink element.
Yeah. The kink is kind of, you know, whatever he does. He's pretty fine.
Did you guys ever see the John Oliver bit about that?
No.
I don't think so.
So in France, it was given like a PG rating.
Of course.
You could just see it. Yeah, in France.
So again, I think that's appropriate. It's about PG, I'd say.
This great picture of a kid smoking a cigarette. It's called, it is okay. Belt play is a little pedestrian, no?
That's a great French accent. First of all,
come to this podcast. We'll just do John Oliver bits and you'll love it.
Great idea. It's a new theme.
Just recycling last night, today,
last week, tonight,
tomorrow.
No.
Last week, tonight, the day after he just aired it is our show.
No. But no, I think, the things that Christian Grey does that are like not cool are not really about, you know, consent in the bedroom, but rather being a fucking weirdo dick who throws your money around and stalks your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, leave her the fuck alone. It's fine. She said she didn't want to hang out right now. That's the weird shit. And also, you know, so it's clear that Anastasia is of a different class than him.
Right.
And that adds this really like gross layer to it that kind of makes sense, that, you know, it gives it a little more like understanding of like, okay, maybe that's why when he like really fucking hit her, she walked out or whatever. But 90% of the movie, I'm just like, what? Anastasia, you're fine. He just wants to buy you things and like put a blindfold on. You'll live. It's not, also fisting's great. You're fine. You know, like,
that's my thoughts. You guys are so smart and say the things that I would say, so I don't have to.
That's why we have podcasts together.
I guess the only thing that I would say about 50 Shades and consent is that 50 Shades, the books, and 50 Shades, the movies are so captivating to all different kinds of people, not just moms. And, and I think that the thing that makes me sad and scared about people watching that and thinking that that's what BDSM is that I think that, like you were saying, like a movie about how a young submissive could be like taken for a ride by an unethical dom is actually a very interesting story.
Absolutely.
But the story doesn't have that context. Mm-mm. And BDSM is all about context, and BDSM is all about that the context is what gives it consent. The context is what makes it love and not abuse. And that's the thing that scares me and makes me sad. But we'll just keep hot taking until they make three movies, or maybe they do the like Harry Potter thing where they split the last book into two movies.
There's barely any movie in.
Or they'll do like
the
Hobbit thing where they'll make
more the
Mr. Hobbit. They'll take Mr. Grey, which I think came out this year,
and make that into three
movies.
Oh God, kill us all.
No. So who else is on this list? There's Ashley.
But in conclusion, I think Mr. Grey is undershamed and moreover for the wrong reasons.
Agreed.
Undershamed and wrongly shamed.
Agreed. In conclusion. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. What else is on here, Sam?
All right, so we've got Cosby Dean, which is like basically can never be shamed enough. I think we can agree. We're going to talk about them a little bit more at the end of the year.
Can we tie their names together
forever
since they came out in the same year? Cosby Dean. Cosby Dean Gate.
Sure.
No. For me? Okay.
I mean,
well, somebody
we can't really get into this too much, but I mean,
somebody
sort of seems like Bill Cosby's worse than James Dean.
I mean, but
that's what I'm saying. It's hard to say. Like, how do you say what's worse? How do you say what's worse?
Can we just say it's all bad?
That's what I said. Cosby Dean.
No, I had the thought, but then I was like, it's not really.
And also, I think it's somebody, not us. Ashley Fiers, is that the journalist? I think
Ashley Fiers is one of the women who accused Ashley Dean.
Yeah, but no, she maybe not. I shouldn't say that. But someone besides us called James Dean the Bill Cosby of porn. That's not our nomenclature, but they are tied.
Yeah. So somebody did say that.
Crosby Dean. Don't try David Crosby.
Sorry, David, you're perfect.
You're in Hook and you're great.
Stills, Young, and everybody. The whole gang. Anyway.
Do you think that Cosby was properly shamed in 2015?
I would say that they can't be properly shamed.
No.
There's not enough shame.
Yeah.
Our public shaming apparatus is not quite fully set up enough to deliver the payload of shame.
It was an unprecedented year for the media getting an A for effort in shaming rapists.
Yes, they were. This is the closest we've ever come to being like, maybe it's not okay to do that.
I'm gonna say like at the top of this conversation, like alleged, like these are like allegations, like disclaimer, but I might call someone a rapist, and opinions are mine and retweets are mine and whatever.
Right.
Did you guys see the New York Daily News headlines? Really, last thing about this.
I mean, this is about Bill Cosby being like, you know what? I'm gonna sue those ladies.
Yeah.
Is that where we're going with this? No.
No, the New York Daily headline had just like a powerful little headline that said, he said, and then a dash, she said, and then it said, then there was 55 she saids.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Yeah. 55?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, he finally has had criminal charges.
Yeah, he went to jail the other day.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize.
We've all been like in Hollywood.
He was arraigned. I don't know if he's actually in jail. He was arraigned the other day.
Okay, cool.
This is Cosby.
Yeah, Cosby.
Dean, however, so mainstream media, I think, undershamed for sure. Mm-hmm. Within porn industry.
Properly.
Almost properly. almost properly, I'd say.
I think the mainstream media has been talking about the right things with James Dean. I really do. I think that they have been... I think that the mainstream media has taken a cue from sex work Twitter. I mean, like, it seems like the conversation about this is stand with Stoya. Let's talk about standing with Stoya.
Yes,
and all these other ladies.
Speaking of Stoya, who is, you know, the one who accused James Dean of assault at first, and eight other porn performers.
And counting. And counting.
Yeah. A bunch of people followed. But so speaking of Stoya, very brave and very astute, awesome performer and writer. She's hosting the XBiz Awards.
Awesome.
Which should be really interesting. She is not like hiding at all. She definitely took a hiatus. She tweeted, you know, she said, James Dean assaulted me. Like I said, stop, use my safe word. I'm paraphrasing. But she tweeted that and then disappeared for like a month or so. She's like, I'm going to be filming somewhere. I don't want to hear it. Figure it out.
Yeah, Twitter. You guys all just figured this
figure
out.
That and out.
I think we did. Made Stoya proud. I'm not speaking for her, but I think that we took that cue and ran with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's no properly amount of proper shaming
but
in the world.
I will say that like immediately, James Dean was, you know, kink.com came out and said, we're not working with him at all.
Within 48 hours. Yeah.
Evil Angel did the same thing. His, you know, the penis depicting his
Doc Johnson?
Doc Johnson or something, but like the dildo you can buy that's shaped like James Dean penis, you can't buy that anymore, which I think is like meaningful. Like, well done.
Yeah. No, get that dick off the market.
Like, immediately somebody was like, excuse me, no, let's pull this. Like, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. It's a lot more than the Catholic Church has done.
Yeah.
We'll say that about their rape allegations.
What was the point? Didn't you say in your column you were talking about like, yeah, the Catholic Church and the sports industry and the entertainment industry.
And I was quoting, you know, another great segue. I was quoting actually like Margaret Cho and Molly Crabapple about that. Margaret Cho, the comedian who just came out about formerly being a sex worker. But she was like, hey, guys, sex work world is doing a great job. You should like acknowledge that.
Yeah.
So thanks. Thanks, Margaret Cho.
Cool. So is that the end of that game?
I think we should just slide, since we kind of covered those in the right, we kind of got to this main stuff. I think we should just slide into some other mainstream news stories about sex from this year.
Let's do it. Yeah.
The rest of the ones.
The big ones.
The biggest ones.
Thanks for tuning in to this Whorecast crossover episode. Watch your feed for part two of The Year in Sex and subscribe to The Whorecast and On Your Face podcast for more great media by sex workers for everyone. Follow at Tina Horns Ass on Twitter, subscribe and write us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Visit whyarepeopleintothat.com to subscribe to our newsletter and listen to the archives of season 1 and season 2. As ever, Why Are People Into That is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. The theme song for this season, like our old theme songs, is by Pine from Oakland, California. Our website was designed by Justin Levesque, and this project is now sponsored by my generous and very attractive patrons. Join their ranks at patreon.com/TinaHorn. See you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.